guys, no regular intro today because it's not a regular episode. But if you're new here, I'm Kai, and this is
Ursula.
Yes, she's finally here, madam. The conversation capital is right here on our couch. I'm so excited, guys. So excited to have her. Mm-hmm. Our conversation is going to be all things feminine routine, womanhood, feminine anthems. You're gonna see. Really, really exciting. Without further ado, let's get on into the life update. I don't want to go too much because I told her off cam that she's going to do most of the talking. One, because I love hearing you speak.
Thank you.
Yes. You're so articulate as well. Thank you. You have a commanding voice.
Oh.
You speak is very...
Okay.
Yes, I love it very much. What's your life update? How are you doing?
How am I doing? Definitely better than 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I think 3 weeks ago I had a bit of a meltdown.
What caused the meltdown? Were you like overworked, overwhelmed? Are you a workaholic?
Some people would describe me not a workaholic, no, but as too busy, maybe.
I don't think workaholics ever admit that they are workaholics. So we'll, if you heard her beneath what she said, she's a workaholic.
No, I think I've been braving it out for a while. I always say last year, 2024, is probably one of the most difficult years of my life. And 2025 seems to not be much better.
Mm-hmm.
Better, but not much better. You know, when you're like, finally, the most difficult year of my life is over.
Yeah.
And so I had a bit of a meltdown. And my period was nowhere in sight, so I couldn't blame it.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're like, oh, it's just my period. No, my period was nowhere in sight.
Far gone.
And I realized, no, I'm actually struggling. Yeah. And then a very good friend of mine said, maybe it's time to see a therapist. I said, maybe it is.
What does a meltdown look like?
I think I just couldn't stop crying. I spent the whole weekend crying. I knew that this was, I'm going through a tough time.
Yeah.
And people always say, like, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think it's always a big issue in life is always expectation. What you expect to happen, and then when it doesn't happen that way, what that looks like. So I think there was a lot of expectation riding on certain goalposts that I had expected to achieve before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was crazy when I was just like, no, this year is not going the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
And but in the same breath, it's crazy. There's so much duality to life because a lot of beautiful things also happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always a tricky thing to navigate. Yeah.
The highs are really, really high, and then the lows are
down.
Really, you really need to understand that that's how life is.
It is.
It really is just black and white and black and white. And, you know, there are gray spaces, but it often is like highs are very high and lows are very low.
Mm-hmm.
And so 3 weeks later, though, it's crazy. Even after a week later, I started feeling so much better. I think I needed that.
What did you do to feel better?
I actually don't know. I read a lot, and I think I was reading a phenomenal book, Business by Grace. I actually think, if I'm to be honest, I think the entrepreneurship journey was probably the biggest waiting factor in my year.
Mm-hmm.
And just feeling like this is not going the way it's supposed to. Entrepreneurship is difficult, and it's not going the way it's supposed to go. And so luckily, then I got my hands on a copy of that book. And I even told the author, Zibisi Zonkwanazi, that, wow, what a book. And I got him on my podcast because I was like, I want to share this with everybody else. The relief from learning that it is very low lows and very high highs for everyone. And that's just the journey of life. Yeah.
And Paul says that all the time, that your experience is not isolated. And so find the people who have
absolutely
had that experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It makes you feel so much better. So we know mentally you're feeling so much better.
So much better.
Yeah.
I'm in a much better place. Firstly, the book. Secondly, I think a good meltdown is necessary.
Absolutely.
That's probably the first time I cried in like 5 years. I don't cry. I'm that girl.
No.
But when I cry, I make sure. That's why I cry
niggas
for the whole
on the
weekend.
Couch. No.
That's why when I cry, I make sure it's the whole weekend. I got
cry
a
about everything you didn't
everything.
Get a chance to cry
everything.
About. It's not right, that thing, Angela. Please.
So that's what I went through.
I should be the last. I'm the last person to be saying this rubbish.
So I think it was necessary. I think I needed just to have a beat and like, whoa, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you know, you just stand up after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then physically? Well.
Physically, well. Mm-hmm. I wasn't well last year, but I'm well this year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, half of the year I couldn't go to the gym last year. This year, back at the gym, no, physically well.
that its own form of therapy, though?
No, absolutely. No.
Wow.
When I can't work out, I'm not okay.
Wow. I'm telling you.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Is that a masculine thing, though, to find gym as an outlet? You think it's a masculine thing?
It's a science thing. It's a science thing,
you
guys.
You think so?
Okay, because yeah, they say exercising releases endorphins. Yeah. Endorphins are happy hormones. We desperately need the endorphins.
Yeah, we
That's why, think of like if you're at a festival with 10,000 people,
mm-hmm.
alcohol, people are going to fight at some point. But you go to a race with 10,000 people, a fight never breaks out.
Everybody's so happy.
You see, it's the happy hormones, baby.
Even when they're crossing the finish line, they can barely walk.
You know, but they're still like...
I saw some guy, his legs couldn't carry him past the finish line, and he fell. Mm-hmm. But even when he fell, he was just like...
It's just like, it's all the endorphins. They are high on endorphins. Yeah.
Okay. Glad finding the gym as an outlet is not a masculine thing. For my life update, physically I caught the flu again. I couldn't believe it. And I know exactly how I caught the flu again. It's my second time having flu in the same month. Well, within the span of a month.
Yeah.
It's because yesterday I was in the shower, I was dyeing my hair. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't at home, I was at an Airbnb. And I didn't know that the hot water...
oscillates.
Yeah, and it would get hot, super hot, and then it would go super cold. And I was thugging it out. I was like, I'll wait for it to get hot again. I'll stand underneath the cold water and wait for it to get hot. I woke up this morning with a scratchy throat and nasal congestion, and I barely sound like myself again.
Do you do supplements?
No, I took the shots, the immunity shots. I don't know if those worked. Cause I still...
The Sir Juice ones?
Yeah.
They're good.
Are they?
Yeah, they're good, but try supplements as well.
Which ones?
I am a supplement junkie. You don't want to.
Please
ask
put me.
Me
on.
I'm like
please
everything
on,
from
please,
every time I take that, I've got like, you know, the old people chronic pill cases.
No.
No, that's my life.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Absolutely. That is my life. I can't afford to fall sick.
I think I need to.
I'm a voiceover artist. I can't afford to fall sick. I get called for gigs anytime.
Valid.
Yeah. Right, next thing I'm like, because it happened once in my life where I had laryngitis. And I remember a client called and I said, this will never be me ever. Again, that was a rookie move. So if you find me with the flu, something is wrong.
Wake up call for me. Okay, which supplement do you suggest I take?
Sure, I take everything. So I always have at least 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, okay.
At least 1,000 milligrams.
I heard 1,000 first. No. 1,000 of what?
At least 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I take magnesium. I take vitamin D, zinc. So I try to take something that's got a combination of them all. But if not, then I'll have to individually grab. Especially vitamin D is usually quite low, and then I also take iron.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a vitamins girl.
I need to get on my Zoom, man. Also, I was telling Tabang about something that happened yesterday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to summarize it, right? So I was at an Airbnb, dyeing my hair, really lovely Airbnb. Wow. I wish I could link it in the comments. Wow.
Link it in the comments, girl.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the comments. Because what a space. You know when you enter a space and it's so homey, even the decor. So I was in heaven and the host put snacks and everything. This is important for the story, by the way. I'm not just happy. Snacks and courtesy drinks and a welcome gift. A welcome gift for some coasters and some, what are they called? Are they biscuits? Angas, right? But I was in heaven. The bathroom was stunning. It had this rustic feel.
I feel like I'm
going to
host
feel.
You at my place. Your bar sounds so low. Hey, biscuiti.
Listen, it was all free, okay? Anything free is exciting.
Okay,
exactly. Anything coasters? Exciting. Just because? Thanks.
I'm like, no, actually, let
Do
me
I have
host
a coffee
you.
Table? No. Do I love the gesture? I do. So, I was really at home. Like, I loved it. Electric blanket, AC with a heater that goes up to, I think, 33 degrees.
Yeah,
lovely. So I get done. And usually when I book Airbnbs, I stay over just to experience. And while I'm in bed, this is around like 9, 10, I get this voice. That's the only way I can describe it. It tells me to go home. And first I just nudge it off as... paranoia because I'm alone. Like, maybe I'm just thinking about it too deeply. I'm not gonna go home. So I try to distract myself, watch some TikToks. I still have that feeling, that voice. Go home now. And it turns into a physical discomfort now. I'm moving. I can't close my eyes. I can't focus on one thing for too long on the TikTok itself. And so finally at midnight now, the voice came around 9. midnight now. I'm like, okay, I can't ignore this. I definitely won't be able to sleep. I'm going home. Pack my things. I call my siblings. My siblings are so shocked because when I say I'm not coming home.
Are you alone at the Airbnb?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell my siblings, I'm coming home. I know I said I'm going to be back tomorrow, but just open for me. I'm coming.
Yeah.
So I get home, half past 12. Yeah. And I put my things down. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm home. It's a big deal. I walk into my room and immediately I notice a wheezing sound. Right? And I ask my sister, because my sister's sleeping over when we share my room. And I ask her, oh, what's that sound? She's like, it's been happening since the afternoon. I have no idea what it is. And I'm like, okay, it's probably the fridge because it doesn't sound too close by. And I hop in bed with her. Now, there's a socket next to my bed where I charge everything, yeah. Right? Everything's plugged in there, the electric blankets, my sister's laptop, my phone, her mm-hmm. phone. Could be easy, right? And as I'm, again, trying to distract, the feeling is still there. It's not as loud as it was when I was at the Airbnb, but it's still there. There's this...
Something.
Yeah, something. Something. And, okay, I put my phone down. I'm like, okay, let me pay attention. And the wheezing sound is coming from the socket. I'm like, Crystal, my sister's name is Crystal. Crystal, it's the socket that's making this wheezing sound. What do you think it could be? She's like... maybe it's over in passing. She's like, yeah, maybe it's overloaded. We do have a lot of things plugged here. I'm like, okay. And then I asked ChatGPT. I'm like, ChatGPT, what does a wheezing sound mean? You know, a wheezing sound from a socket mean? ChatGPT immediately even puts red emoji warning signs like, unplug everything. You are at risk of an electrical fire, right? So as I'm unplugging everything, there's a burning smell coming from the socket, but I don't see anything burning on the outside. It's coming from the inside with this wheezing sound. I said, what? So I unplug everything and the wheezing sound goes away and that feeling goes away as well. Okay. Because my neighbor two streets above us had an electrical fire and the house came down.
Yeah. And they're generally, if I'm not mistaken, very hard to put out.
Yeah, almost impossible to put out. Yeah. And My sister got, when I told her that I had this feeling to come, because she was also puzzled as to, why are you home? I'm like, something told me to come. She stood up. She's like, so I could have melted. We could have died.
Is she younger than you or older?
Yeah, she's younger. She's 18.
I can see that's big sister energy. You're like walking in with her, like, let me fix this situation. Yeah. She's just like, something's wheezing.
Yeah, she's like, it's been like that the whole day. She stood up in utter disbelief. And I was also in disbelief. I was like, something big could have happened. And I was so grateful to God because it could only be God. Like, what do you mean you moved me from Airbnb? I was so comfortable. Yeah. Like, I had no idea. I turned the TV to the bed. You understand what I'm saying?
But you listening to your sixth sense like that is a big deal. Congratulations to you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, most people just ignore it.
No, I've learned the hard way. Mm-hmm. No trust, I've learned that.
Girl.
Learned the hard way in relationships. Yeah. Learned the hard way at a party. You learn the hard way to just, if something
you
tells you
have
to
go.
You
don't have to tell me, girl. No. I'm just saying I absolutely know. You have to listen to your intuition.
Story there. But that's my life update. Guys, please don't ignore your gut, your sixth sense, the voice, whatever. Don't ignore it, because imagine just receiving a call. I'm there with my snacks and my receiving a call that, hey, your house is on fire, your family's gone.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Both your parents in the home.
My father was home, my younger sister was home, and my younger brother was home.
Sure.
Yeah. And they were all sleeping, actually, when I called for them to
open.
They were frustrated with me. Like,
Didn't you say you're not
around? So, yeah, guys, don't ignore
don't
it.
Do it.
Yeah. But that's it for our life updates. Do you have anything else to share?
No.
Okay. That's it for our life updates. Our girl chat is surrounding a feminine routine, what our mornings should look like, you know, building a ritual for yourself to center and prepare you to, you know, go out in the world.
Launch into the world.
Yeah. What does your morning routine look like?
Let's see. And it sucks. You sent me this before. I should have thought of it before. But
I was so anxious when I did send it to you. Okay,
if I'm being deliberately honest, so remember, meltdown happens, and then I start reevaluating what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah,
and also the book. I keep referring to the book. I always feel God brings certain, you know, God answers me in knowledge, or you know, I feel more equipped with knowledge. So I like reading when I'm distressed, or like researching when I'm distressed. And so one of the things it says, you know, the journey of an entrepreneur is learning to wake up at 5 o'clock, whether And anybody who knows me knows that I like my sleeping.
And the whole reason why we record in the afternoons is because of
me. Because you like your sleep. So, and then I just realized that it's tripping me up. It's making me, you know, the rest of my day start terrible.
Yeah.
So I start committing to starting at the gym. Mm-hmm. So I go and I get the gym schedule with the morning classes because I'm not going to go to the gym in the morning and be able to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. I need to at least like slip into a class or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's been so now 3 weeks. And yeah, definitely a contributing factor. Just getting up and doing something very active. Like I said, the motivation to like work out on your own for me isn't there in the morning. I know other people are morning people and they're good with that.
Before then, when did you work out in the evening?
I still work out in the evening. I'm in the evening. So even my morning workout, I'm not as...
Very lazy.
I'm very like... When they're like, kick, I'm just like, yeah, you know, I'm just here for my mental health, actually.
Yeah, take those classes.
Yes. No, I don't mind peer pressure. I don't mind being the weakest link. I'm like, guys, look to me as what not to do.
As what not to do. I can't handle it. There's too many of your eyes here.
So that's been dreamy. It really has been life-changing. And then I step into the sauna for a little bit and then go about with the rest of my day.
The benefits of a sauna.
Hey, what are you thinking? Gakwala, you wouldn't have a flu if you knew that.
Wow. You just arrived, by the way.
You know what? The ladies usually pour, like, in the evenings, they like to pour lavender because then it, like, calms you down and you get ready for bed. But in the mornings, they usually pour eucalyptus just to open the airways and lungs.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Today is today. Yeah, but also, usually nice. I don't enter the sauna because I'm funny shrinkage. Oyabo. But it's already shrunken.
It's really good for your hair, though.
Is it really good?
Yeah, think of the greenhouse treatment with your hair.
Okay.
You know greenhouse treatment?
That, I think my hairstylist has it. Yeah, she used it. Yeah. It's a mist, no?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's basically like hot boxing your hair. Yeah. So keeping it super warm and super moist. You can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. I do have that heat. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so it's like greenhouse treatment on your hair. It's really good.
Wow, you're putting me on.
Yeah. Try it out.
So waking up early.
Yeah, waking up early. Getting a bit of exercise. Like I said, I'm not my most active. I realize I've accepted that that's not who I am. I'm not a morning person, but I should at least get into the rhythm of it. And then having like something good to eat. So now I've like really relied on like rolled oats.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you make them yourself?
Yes, I do make them myself.
Wow, Nara.
You don't want to make
rolled. Who rolls them?
No, they're called rolled oats.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing a Nora Smith.
No, absolutely.
You take the oats and you put them in the oven.
Never me.
I must say congratulations.
I believe on the box, there's jungle oats. Oh,
okay.
Rolled oats.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. But yeah, so oats. Let's just say oats. Yeah, so then I have like oats and then my day can start. And then usually either coffee shop or whatever have you. I'm not too strict with my face routine. I once was, but I think I got a little bit too obsessed. And so now I've like relinquished that power. So I'll just do like your basic after shower, serum, whatever serum I'm using for the day. It could be vitamin C or niacinamide, moisturize, sunscreen, definitely sunscreen, always sunscreen. And then my day starts. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I've already achieved a lot by 9 o'clock. And then that feeling of like having to garner strength by myself is not there because I've been supported the whole time by like a class that's moving. And like I said, even though I'm the laziest one, you know, we're moving and I'm like half sleepy, but we're moving. Yeah. And then I feel like I've won the day already at like 9:30. And so then every other task after that becomes so much easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
Would I say that it's the first time I'm doing this? No, but I had let go of it for a while. And I think allowed myself to really slip into like a very depressive, isolated. So I'm somebody who believes in community. Find yourself, submerge into community. Don't isolate, even though the temptation is there to isolate when you're going through a tough time, but it only makes your tough time even worse. So waking up and submerging myself in community in one of those classes, because afterwards, you know, us and the ladies in the sauna, it's hey, my husband this and hey, my kids this. And then,
hey,
you know, it just, the there's an
way,
offloading that happens. Yeah.
Especially something about the bathroom.
Yes.
Something.
You don't even, do sauna from today to sauna.
No,
the chats happen in sauna. I
definitely am.
Yeah.
And I'm saying had because I'm going to do better. I had a horrible habit of going to the gym and then going straight out, like, not going to talk to anyone. I'm not here for that. I'm here to release some stress. And I would hear, you know, the chats that happen in the bathroom. I'm just like, you guys, how long have you guys known each other? In my head, though. and come to find out they only meet at the gym. They only speak at the gym.
Yeah.
So maybe again,
yeah.
I do also want to open my world up. It is quite small. Friend group is really small.
Okay.
Select family members that I speak to. So I do want to open my world up because I realize you open your world up, you open your mind up. You know,
no, absolutely.
So I want to do that. I am doing it.
Do it. Yeah.
I am doing it. What I love about your routine is that you mention movement and you mention touch, right? Because you spoke about your routine.
Yes,
it's not as hectic as it used to be. You take a shower, blah, 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 blah. So I've looked it up, right? And research shows that the best routine for women has three elements to it. Stillness, movement, and touch.
Okay.
Right? Which is really eye-opening because we kind of jumble things up and we put it at the end and this one in the beginning. But women are able to step more into their femininity and themselves when they take their time with whatever it is, right? So stillness includes things like meditation, yoga, prayer, actual stillness, silence. And then movement is your gym or walking or a run. Or again, yoga is also part of movement. And touch involves however you want to touch yourself. So if that's having a nice long shower, use a body scrub, a body gel, take your time with your face routine, play with your hair, be intentional with your hair, be intentional with what you're wearing, how you're wearing it. That's just the morning that will set, because our hormonal, it will set the tone for the rest of the day. And our hormonal cycle is a 28-day cycle. You know, men, I think also the way that the yang works, or the world works and has positioned yang as the way to work. Yang is the more masculine. It's hyperproductivity. Get up and go, right? And that's so counterproductive for the way our hormones work. Some mornings are more difficult to wake up than others, and some afternoons are more energetic than others in the 28-day cycle. So this stillness, movement, and touch incorporates however you're feeling during your cycle. And we had somebody here, a doctor here, 2 months ago from Cortex, who spoke about cycle syncing. So aligning your lifestyle with where you're at in your cycle.
Oh.
Oh, girl, tell me what you thought of cycle syncing. Did you think? No, tell me. She's probably like, also.
Because I think everything of it, in the sense that once you understand that where you're at in your cycle significantly impacts you, it allows you to move in a different way.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that for me, as soon as my period finishes, I know that I've got like a week and a half to do what I need to do.
Conquer the world.
Yeah, to conquer the world. Yeah. Because after that,
Ziawa.
And whether you like it or not, it comes with like this sluggish, depressive, overeating thing that you can't stop from happening. So make the most of what you have when it's good. And so that's, for me, the cycle syncing has worked there. So I really do plan around.
So you've been cycle syncing?
Yeah. Well, I'm in science, so I think I've known the concept for a really long time. Yeah. Yeah.
If you guys aren't cycle syncing yet, there's a wonderful app called Harmony.
Okay.
Where you plug in your last period,
yeah,
whether it was a 5 day, 7 day, you plug it in. And then I think it's last two periods.
Okay.
And then they'll send you notifications as to what is best to do on this day.
Hey, I love that. Right? That's really nice.
Your energy levels will be high tomorrow, so go for a run. Go for a jog. Or you may be feeling a little depressed tomorrow, a little, you know, fatigued as well. Yeah. Drink this.
Ugh, I love that.
Love it, Harmony.
Yeah.
I mean, they do charge. But I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. It's not like
the
Flow.
Charge?
Flow, it's 130 rand a month.
Do you guys have 130 rand?
You can have 130 rand every for 1 month and then kind of
like memorize what you need to do. But Flow also does have a few tips like that, but
it
maybe
does,
not
but it's
as
not cycle
detailed.
Okay. Yeah, it's not as detailed. Like Flow, I think for me has been wonderful when it comes to communicating where I'm at in my cycle with my partner. So there's Flow for you and Flow for your partner.
Okay.
So how that, you know, when's the best time to spend time together. When's the best time to? Oh, she doesn't like you right now.
She needs a little bit more attention. Yeah. Okay.
They'll send a notification to my partner like, hey, you need to do this today.
Nice.
Really lovely. Flo, thanks a lot. That's why I said one of, I think a green.
I think I need to give this to my partner. It's called Flo for him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's really good. And that's why I said like a really green flag is when men care about your cycle.
Yes.
And they care enough to download something like Flo. And I know a lot of women's partners would be keen too. It's just that we also don't know about these things. So Flo is great. Even just for intimacy, like the prompt will be write 3 compliments for your partner to receive today. And throughout the day, your partner's going to receive those compliments whether you guys are together or not.
Sure.
That's lovely really cool. Stuff.
Yeah, I need more attention. That's what I usually say. But now I've got Flo to say yes. It for me.
Because it feels a little weird to say, like, you know? I went off on a tangent now. What was I talking about?
You were talking about... What was she talking about? She was talking about Flo, period syncing.
Yes. Oh, the routine and how cycle syncing plays a role in your routine. For me, mornings look like waking up when my body wakes me up. I realize that mentally I won't be where I need to be the whole day if I force myself to get up.
Okay.
Yeah. It's happened even when I was in school.
Okay.
I was always late for school on purpose because I needed to register my mortality. I'm awake, I'm alive, and I'm alive for a certain amount of time, you know. So I wake up and my body tells me to, which is around 8:30, 9 a.m. And like, I think... It is a sleep thing. Before, I used to ignore my body and force it to go back to sleep, which is what would make me more lethargic throughout the day.
Yes.
No energy.
Yeah.
But now I wake up and, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Right? And that's 8:30. I'm not a 5. I can't.
Yeah, me too.
Wow.
Like, I'm catching the 7 o'clock class at gym. I'm not catching the 5 o'clock class.
Yo. It's cold. It's quiet. Eerily quiet. No. So I wake up with my body, and then stillness for me is prayer.
Okay.
I will spend some time in prayer, spend some time in also complete silence, because I had this habit of touching my phone as soon as I wake up. I want to see what emails I have, you know, if anything needs to get done today, going straight into productivity, which is a masculine thing. So just quiet time, even if that quiet time is 5 minutes, but I'm intentional about getting out of bed, because you do all those things, being stillness for 5 minutes in bed, you're gone. So my stillness is prayer and silence, and then my movement is the gym.
Yeah.
But the gym will be later on in the evening, but I'm realizing that maybe I need to squeeze it in the morning as well. I also have this kind of, I don't have a good relationship with feeling that I've conquered the day too early in the day.
Okay.
I don't like it, because then I'm like, okay, I can go back to sleep.
I am so addicted to winning and accolades and achieving.
I was about to say.
It just gets me on a high. If I want to achieve more, I need to start achieving early.
Yeah.
Then it's like.
I see on your statuses also, I'm like, wow, so very much get it done. Win now.
Yeah.
Competitive.
I would say no, my friends would say definitely.
Ashton's game. We can skip the game for today.
No.
Surely.
Let's go.
So that's what my morning routine looks like.
But it's
like
cool that you do the prayer. I mean, you know, with the prayer one, I didn't want to comment because I definitely oscillate. And I've gone to a place where sometimes my prayer is squeezed into like listening to worship on my way to gym. You know,
not gonna say that my prayers are consistent.
But there was a time where, you know, I was rocking it, but it's always it's probably the one that takes the biggest backseat in my life, which is a terrible thing. Because like you're saying, that stillness is important. Mm-hmm. And so I'm listening to you and I'm like, yeah, I need to do better.
That's what I was feeling when you were talking. So clearly we both
do better.
Yes, yes. Also, overconsumption. I think we have, just one more thing for girl chat. We have developed habits of overconsumption and we don't even realize it. Like watching something while you're eating. That's overconsumption. Focus on doing one thing at a time. Or listening to music while you're taking a shower. That's also overconsumption. You're not doing one thing at a time. Sometimes they're good in, it's good in moderation, you know, because like, for instance, one form of overconsumption that is good in moderation as well is listening to something while you're driving. But it's what you're listening to while you're driving that is important. What else? What other forms? Ooh, you see that thing where you're watching a movie, but you're still scrolling on your phone? Ah, it's so bad. Mm-hmm. It contributes to,
you have to keep rewinding because you didn't catch every part. You have to keep going back. Like, wait, what just happened? Because you're so busy scrolling.
You're screwing with your attention span. Mm-hmm. And there are so many things that already mess with our attention span. Absolutely. The shorts, the reels, you know, everything is short form. Everything is fast paced. Even the 6-minute vlog you're watching on TikTok is like this. Mm-hmm. It's not a vlog. It's a vlog. And so you need to, you know, train your brain to focus on one thing at a time. I think, even for me, I think at the beginning of the year, watching a movie all the way through was
I
so...
I don't watch movies. I'm impressed. I don't watch movies.
Why?
They're too long.
Yeah, bo. Nanking,
There's the problem. We are... Yeah, no, I agree.
You're so used to being entertained now. You know, you don't like the build-up. You don't like the... What comes after a climax? What's that? When you go down. There's a climax? Think is a what? Crescendo. Oh. Angas. But you're not a fan of that build up. You like the climax.
No, but the reels are toxic. The reels are toxic.
I'm telling
you. Doom scrolling is...
Get out. And the thing is, you know you're doom scrolling.
Get out. Whoever needs to hear this, stop. Just get out.
Get out.
What I've started doing, I literally don't mind deleting Instagram and TikTok and whatever in the evening and then downloading it for my doom scroll in the evening later. Meaning that because I know that people communicate with me via Instagram and I also communicate with people.
Yeah.
But to avoid the doom scrolling during the day, I delete the app. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come back, I'll re-download the app.
I know people that do that too.
Even in the evening after gym, 7 o'clock, I'm sitting and I'm like, let's doom scroll. And then I can doom scroll comfortably
until like 9 o'clock. Because you've earned the doom scroll.
My doom scroll.
You know what? But I'm not too bad at that.
Yeah.
Earn the doom scroll at least.
Otherwise, it can be a really slippery slope.
Okay. I hope, guys, you've taken some notes on how to go about your day in a feminine, slow, productive, and very centering manner. We're going to move over to the cave. Man. Dreadful, dreadful scene.
I hope I win. That's all I'm saying.
But I can only imagine if Mpo was here. Wow.
It would be a mess.
It would be a mess up. She's so cold. She hates losing. She's such a solid loser.
Mpo, we miss you.
Yeah, we miss you so bad, girl. So our game is feminine anthems. We're not going to sing the song. We're going to say the song. And the other person has to guess what song it is. If they guess it right, they get a point. Simple. Anyway, do you want me to start?
Sure.
I already said one. I have them written down.
And then should I make you guess one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe. But okay.
You come up with things. Uh-huh. You're such a quick thinker. Hold on. There we go. What is your music taste, first of all, so I can be fair?
Girl, give me the song.
Okay, okay. No, hala. No, this is too easy. You are so ugly when you cry. You are so ugly when you cry. That's it. I'm going to...
No ways.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So, grab your clothes and get gone.
One more line.
So, go away. So, go ahead and get gone again. How about... No.
Wait, start from the beginning? You also acted when you cry?
Yeah. Grab your clothes and get gone.
So go ahead and get gone. How
about a round of applause?
Oh. Oh. Hey now.
You have Rihanna? To get the artist Rihanna? And the title. Mm.
Just say it. I'm singing. Standing ovation.
You're born again.
What's the name of the song is? It's Rihanna.
Yeah, what song by Rihanna?
Really had me going.
Yeah, sing it. It doesn't matter. And you know what's crazy about the title? You have to go far into the song for the title.
I don't know what it's called.
Take a bow.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
You have to go far into the song.
I can't believe I didn't know this.
Lovely. You shouldn't get the points.
Okay. Can I?
Mm-hmm.
Can I?
You can. I'm going to make it harder, Madge.
Firstly, you didn't prep me on this, but I definitely know which song I want to. It might be tricky. I don't know what kind of music you listen to.
Ish.
I want to leave my footprints in the sands of time.
Beyoncé.
Oh my God. That's my favorite song.
I was here. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I hate you with that.
That was so easy, girl. Okay. You know what, Nah? I'll do another Beyoncé song.
Let's go. Please.
That's because.
That's my girl.
Okay.
They didn't even know names. Oh. Okay, let me try.
Okay. No. That's too easy. No. Rolling her around in the car that I bought you.
To the left, to the left.
What's the title of this?
Irreplaceable. Oh, thank you.
Not to the left, to the left.
I thought it was called to the left for a second.
Guys, Beyonce has a song called to the left, by the way.
Let me give you all the best with this one. If you can get this, I'll be shocked. We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain.
Wrecking Ball, Miley Cyrus.
Oh my God.
Oh yes.
You're so good.
Overconsumption, girl.
One sentence.
Overconsumption.
Okay.
No, there are certain songs that I need to hear the first 3 seconds I know, like the instrumental. Yeah, my memory is bad, but when it comes to music, it's really good. Maybe that's a sign, you know?
It's a sign. Can you sing?
Can I?
Come give us a try.
No! I shy.
No, don't do that.
I shy.
They've you already heard my croaky voice. Come on.
If you want me to sing, you must draw.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is very painful.
Exactly.
I told her earlier that I wish I could draw. And
wish I could sing.
Let's go.
Okay. Let's give you something more.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go old. Actually, I want to go old school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get the hardest lyrics. Okay. No. I've been in love and lost my senses, spinning through the town.
I've been in love and lost my senses,
spinning through the town. Sooner or later, the fever ends and I wind up feeling down.
Keep going.
I need a man who'll take the chance on a love that burns hot enough to last. So when the night falls, my lonely heart calls.
Keep going.
No, that's the chorus. That's it.
Is that the chorus you just said now?
No, no, no. What's next after what I just said is the chorus. And
no, you have to do one line from the chorus. I might not get it.
No, the chorus is the title, unfortunately. The end of the first verse. Clock strikes upon the hour and the sun begins to fade. Still enough time to figure out how to chase my blues away. And now I'm reading the whole song, man.
I have never heard the song in my life.
You have. Swear down, you have. Do you give up?
I give up.
Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody.
No, here I'm being cheated.
No, now I said I'm going old school. Like...
Oh, did you say it?
Yeah,
I missed that part.
I did say
it. Even though I think I still wouldn't have gotten it.
Oh, that's not with me. And the chorus is, you're making me go to the chorus. Imagine, oh, I want to dance with somebody.
Okay, here we go. I got you. Does it have to be woman because it's Women's Month or...
You can go ahead. We've sang enough women.
Yeah, I know sometimes things may not make sense to you right now. But hey, what daddy always tell you? Straighten up, little soldier.
Daddy, I don't know this guy. Unfortunately, I gave up.
Do you know?
You don't know?
Thank goodness, not from their generation. Straighten up, little soldier. Stiffen up that upper lip. What you crying about? You got me? You give up? Oh,
yes,
you give up?
Yes.
It's Eminem.
I've never listened to Eminem my entire... I've never heard a single Eminem song. I mean,
maybe,
I've heard it.
Maybe I should have listened to him.
Eminem! We're up! You and empowerment what for each other.
3-1.
Once you start losing, yeah. That's when you start cheating. Once you start losing, like, let me pull out the men. I've been there, done it. It's a man, by the way. Uh-huh. I've been there, done it, humped around. After all that, this is what I found.
Asha. Yeah. I know.
But you have to say the title, Banja.
Nobody gonna think that thing.
And you can throw it, Simon.
You got a bed.
Okay. Guys, I think she only has one point. Or maybe two.
Give me one, two.
You can have it. You can have it, I guess.
Let me give you one.
I'm gonna, you see this one? Yeah. Abole, ngiyakuzwa ithole. And it's so obvious too.
No. That's not the artist. I don't even know the artist. There we go.
So you're giving me a song where you don't know the artist? When they lose, the competitive ones. It's the people who flip the 30-second card without
people looking. Now my reception isn't working here. Oh, damn.
You steal money from the bank in Monopoly now when you're losing. Definitely. Ibona.
I never lose in Monopoly, first of all. Let's start there. Okay. You should know this one. It's a classic. Is this real life? Is this just a fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
You know, when you said fantasy, I'm like, Ikona, here. Is this real life or is it fantasy?
I believe point three is on its way.
I don't like it right now. Is this real life or is it fantasy? I give up.
Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Yo, I knew it, bro. I'm like, fantasy. Not a lot of people use the word fantasy in their songs. Fine. Okay.
Tell me how I'm supposed to breathe.
No. No, it's not the one. No. Chilling by the fire while we eating fondue. I don't know about me, but I know about you. So say hello to falsetto in 3, 2. Yeah. Abolo. Amaz. Well, Amaz got that his songs you don't know.
Falsetto is the name of the song?
No. Well,
why?
Because you heard, you're just guessing.
No, but did I get it?
No. No. I'd like to be everything you want. Hey, girl, let me talk to you. You do not know the song.
And all of you will say, hey, hey.
Wow. Hey, you're making things up. Jesus. Yo,
I don't know. Who is it?
Boyfriend by Justin Bieber. Oh. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. You don't know.
I've never heard that song in my life.
Yeah, I knew it.
Have you guys ever heard that song? I don't think anybody's ever heard that song.
The problem started when we stopped singing women's songs. That's when the problem started.
What's the final score? What's the final score? What? Thank you.
I'm so sure I won.
Did you hear that? About a 3-3. I'm not too sure if he counted properly, but about a 3-3. The empire says 3-3. Let's go.
So much for not being competitive. There I am saying, no, I won.
Yeah. And you're like, stillness, I never compete.
I never compete. I don't know. I think it's because it's music or something. Okay, guys, we're moving on to our long topic, and it's basically titled The Roles We Play / Womanhood, because this month's conversation series is the layers of womanhood, and I think one of the layers is the roles that we play as women. But I think before we even go into the roles we play, I want to ask you, do you consider yourself a good woman?
Knee-jerk reaction, absolutely.
Okay.
My recoil was, who doesn't? That was my recoil. So just trying to put my shoes in the position of a woman who doesn't think they're a good woman. But I think I'm a good woman. Yes.
What makes you think you're a good woman?
Sure.
And what would you define, even just thinking about the women in your life you think are good, what makes them good women, not just good people?
So for me, it will always boil down to intent, although there's a song by Madonna where she says the road to hell is paved with good intentions,
mm-hmm.
Meaning well versus doing well. But I...
Oof. Wow. Wow, Madonna. Profound.
I do agree with that statement, but I think for the most part, my heart will always, you know, go back to, did you mean well? Did you mean to do the right thing? And I think I always try to do the right thing. So, and that for me makes another good woman a good woman.
What is your compass for the right thing? Is it religion? Is it culture?
Sure. Religion isn't the word, but spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Religion isn't the word because I think religious systems get it wrong very often. I'm not talking about church.
Why? Because right is interpreted.
Sorry?
I'm saying why? Because religious systems interpret what
interpret,
is right?
Yeah. And, but at their core, sometimes it has to do with controlling people more than it has to do with, with breeding good people. So that's probably at its core one of my biggest. So for me, if the my compass has always been, if the motivation behind it is fear, then it can't be of God. But if the motivation behind it is love, then it should be of God. And so if it's like, I believe in God because I don't want to go to hell, then you don't believe in God. But I believe in God because I love him, because he created me. Then that's a notion I can get behind. I just feel fear is the opposite of everything God is.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, that will always be my compass with regards to what is right. Yeah. What's the motivating factor? What's the motivating factor? Yeah.
That's what determines a good woman.
Yeah. Motivating or intention. What was your heart when that happened?
I think.
What did you
mean? Like that definition, but I think it's more of a good person, you know, because I think you would think good of a person if their intentions were good, regardless of whether they were a woman or not, you know? So maybe it's a layered question, because I'm also trying to answer it for myself. Maybe it's womanhood first, and how are you good in womanhood? You know,
okay.
What is womanhood first, and are you doing that well, if that even is a performance? But now I'm realizing that my definition of womanhood itself, or being a good woman, I think has been rooted in performance, because growing up, a good woman was someone who respected men. That in itself is a performance, because men very often don't deserve the amount of respect that is necessitated by being a good woman, you know. And I grew up around Zulu women, so it was an unconditional respect you gave to men, and that's what determined whether you were a good woman or not. That respect, that submission to men made you a good woman. And how well you perform in your roles as a sister, your role as a mother, as a cousin, as a wife, as an in-law, those roles. How well you do in those roles determines whether you're a good woman or not, regardless of whether you're a good person. If you perform well, then you're considered a good woman. And I wonder how true that is, you know, because it is part of womanhood, sister, mother, you know. But how good of a determining factor are those for your womanhood, or your good womanhood, you know?
The one around respecting men, it's something I didn't grow up with. I only see the first feminist I know is my father.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe it's just the circumstances in which my father grew up around. My father's biracial Malawian. And he's surrounded by really strong women. My father's grandmother was the village head person. And so he was surrounded by a very matriarchal society. And so he sees no weakness in women.
Yeah.
And so...
It's incredible.
Yeah. My mom, on the other hand, is a Zulu girl. Like you're saying, Zulu women, submissive to the core. And so seeing that relationship, my mom always tells a story of, I think she was presenting herself in a way that she was taught how to.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just gets married to my dad. They've got suitcases. They're walking into their first apartment. And she's like, okay, let me unpack for us. And then I'll cook. And she's like listing the things that she's going to do and serve him. And then he says, sit on the suitcase, like sit down. And she's like, no, but I need to. And he's like, sit down. And then he says to her, I didn't marry a servant. And that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a partner. And there's a list of things we need to do to get our household running. And so between me and you, who's going to unpack and who's going to do the cooking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she was almost speaking as though I'll be unpacking and cooking while you chill and sit and wait for me too.
Yeah.
And so he introduced that to her. And I walked into a system where my father was leading with we're partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so patriarchy is something that I was introduced to from the world. Yeah. And then like stepping out into the world, the older I grow in dating. And then I'm like, oh, people are doing it really different around here. But it's not something I grew up with. So I could have never measured it as a good woman is like this. That was never a standard in my home. And like I'm saying, I did get introduced to it at a later age. That, oh, okay, different households actually work very patriarchal and, you know, things like that. But when it comes to the roles, yeah, I think I fully relate to how well do you do your roles?
Mm.
How good of a mother are you when you're absolutely tired? How, you know, how do you show up for your friends? I think those are definitely things that I'd say in my head were conditioned early as to these are contributing factors to what a good woman is.
Mm.
But I've learned now, I'm going through the, if you're really in sincere relationships, sincere, not performative, I think the word you used was performative,
mm-hmm.
you're allowed to call it and say, I'm tired and I don't have capacity to show up for you in a way that I would like to show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
But striking a really good balance, because you could also be the friend that is always tired and that always doesn't have capacity. And so... But surround yourself with the relationships where the conversation is had.
Yeah.
It's gotten to a place with one of my friends where it's like, I'm tired. I don't want to show up on a scale of 1 to 10. How much do you need this? Because I'm willing to compromise if you really need it. And that allows us to, then I'm like, I'm like, okay, fine. Let's say we set up a lunch date and she's like, oh, I'm lazing in bed. Mm-hmm. It's a Sunday afternoon and I actually don't feel like the lunch date anymore. Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you need it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, or she says, can you come chill in bed with me? And so this, yeah, the sincerity of the relationships around you. And those are the only relationships I have. I'm not willing to have performative relationships. Like, they're draining.
Yeah.
And I need to be in a relationship or a
even
friendship
with
where,
family?
Yes, absolutely. Really? With family, it's even worse. We are very close.
Yeah.
And so it's like... Not today, boom.
Yeah.
I love you, but not today. Or it's like, okay, I hear you're not saying not today, but I need this one. It's like, okay,
yeah.
You know, or she's saying not today and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually let this one go.
Yeah.
And with that's with different things, right? Sometimes it's with doing groceries. Sometimes it's with, I don't know, showing up to pick up a niece or a nephew or a friend's child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does not today look like on that day?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a phone call. You know, sometimes a friend will call for a catch-up call and you're absolutely not in the space for it, you know, whereas I think a younger version of me would just ignore the call. But I've learned that communication is, that's where the friendship is. That's the secret sauce. And so in the two spaces you mentioned, performing roles, I've seen that the gift in roles is as sincere and as open and as clear as you can get, the better and sweeter the relationships get.
So there is, so the way you play your role and how well you play your roles also, you know, make you either a good woman or a bad woman. I think there,
yes.
Now that you share your experience, there is some truth to that. It's just, whether you're playing those roles or embodying those roles. Yes. That is the difference, you know?
Yeah.
Embodying a sister or you acting like
a sister. And what do you think a sister should act like? Instead of you rewriting the rules of what a sister is.
Yeah. It's good. It's pretty good. Secondly, right, we've considered, you know, good woman on a personal level. But there's also a good woman on a societal level, you know, in public. And last month we were talking about sex and sexuality. And now I'm thinking about how, sure, you can be a good woman here, you know, in your world, in the world. What would define you as a good woman there? And I'm going to preface it by making reference to the whole idea of a body count, right? The one with a higher body count is not a good woman because she doesn't practice self-control.
Yeah.
Or she doesn't, she's not pure. Mm-hmm. So that would now, you know, mean she's not a good woman. Or even if, you know, it's not body count, it's where you are even. Mm-hmm. That will determine your goodness as a woman. If you're found in the club, no way you're a good woman, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. If you're in the library, perhaps you're a good woman, you know. And so does the way society views a good woman play a role in the way you view your goodness? Or does it play a role in how you show up in the world as well, whether or not you feel like you're a good woman to the world?
Sure. This question's a trap. And I'll tell you why it's a trap, especially when you touch on promiscuity. I think we're entering into an era where there's a lot of ownership of bodies. Like, people are stepping, women are stepping into like owning their bodies, and the movement is beautiful.
Yeah.
But I always feel, can we take away that some of the principles that were in place, old school principles, were there for a reason and they're good?
Yep.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yep. I've said that so many times.
It's almost like being pro having a healthy relationship with self, owning your body means being anti old school principles. And I don't think it's that black and white. I think there is a mid ground to be reached where I'm like, own your sexuality, be your own person, but I'm not necessarily going to be teaching my daughter to be promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a mom yet, by the way, but if I ever have a daughter one day, I don't think that's the messaging I want to share with her.
Mm-hmm.
And surely there's a mid ground.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, series and TV make it look so easy, but I look at Bo Johnson on Blackish.
Mm-hmm.
When Zoe loses her virginity, she does it so well. She does it so well. You know, she wants to know, were you pressured? Did you want to? And then where to from here? What's the plan?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that approach. I don't want to be in a place where my daughter can't tell me and can't open up to me like that. But I want to be in a place where I'm like, girl, you're doing too much. And it's healthy still. You know, I hate that. I think the world wants to make it so black and white. Either you're like a feminist who can sleep with 100 men, or you're not part of the movement at all. And that makes me uncomfortable. Like I said, if it doesn't lead with love and it feels like fear, then I'm uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of, so we went to, on the 8th, the day before Women's Day, we went to Rez at Wits, and we were just having a chat with the girls there for their Women's Day celebration. And while we were having the conversation, right, somebody, I don't remember what the question was about, but I felt the need to differentiate between sexual liberation and sexual activity. Because those things are mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean because you are sexually liberated. One, you have to define sexual liberation for yourself. And it doesn't necessarily have to lead to sexual activity. It's just, one, you know about sex, you have the choice to participate in it, and you're well informed. Making an informed decision because you're liberated. That's the whole point. And so I think part of womanhood is making those distinctions between how do I educate and how am I sexually liberated without compromising myself, you know, or without participating in a culture that puts the two together.
Yes.
And then I get lost.
Yeah.
I get lost in the sexual activity, the promiscuity, you know, all of that.
And also, I think with some truth, there was a friend of mine who I was chatting to I would have never thought I'd hear her say this. She said, "I think I'm over casual sex."
Mm-hmm.
I say, "You." What happens?
Did
they hurt you?
Yeah.
She's like, "No, I think I feel used afterwards."
Mm.
And I said, "You."
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she's very much pro-liberation. So what does it look like where we're having those kind of honest conversations that liberation versus activity?
Yeah.
What does it look like for you? Yeah. Do you want to, or are you proving a point?
Yeah.
And you're proving a point with your body. And how do you feel afterwards?
Mm.
And just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some things are for the culture and for the movement, to a place where you lose yourself. And honestly, if you're cool with it, go for it.
Yeah.
If you really are. So her and I had a chat and we really debunked, like, and she's like, "Yeah, I never thought I'd say something like that. You're right."
Yeah.
I'm also in the position where I'm like, "Oh, I never thought I'd say something like that." And she's like, "I think I'm just older and I'm more honest about what it looks like to be sexually liberated."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Damn, girl, okay, that's interesting." Because, I mean, people like her will always make you feel like you're lagging behind on the feminist movement.
Yeah, you're so conservative.
You know,
get with the program.
So to have that chat was so liberating. Like,
yeah, man. Yeah,
it's a journey of self, you know. And I think we often just need so much to consult with others that is where. You know, there's this thing that I read and it's always like, I hate that I can't find it. You know, when you read an amazing passage and I just can't find it.
And you don't remember who said it. And you know, it happens to me all the time.
Yeah, it was about 2 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was basically speaking of the desire that for you to be right, everybody else must be wrong. And he was like, that in and of itself speaks to your lack of belief in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, let's make an example now. I don't want to use a direct religious example. Let me try to think of a worldly example. For sexual liberation to be right, it means sleeping around with everybody else. And we all need to agree on that's what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
right? Versus, because if that's not what it looks like, then what I'm doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, allowing yourself to be in a place to say, this is what I've defined it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it happens very often that there's this deep desire to shame everybody else or to make everybody else feel wrong so that you can feel right. Whereas if you allow yourself to live in the consequences of your own decisions, right or wrong, bad or good, you accept that, oh, this was a me thing. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm... Yeah.
No, I hear you.
No, that passage changed my life forever. And I read it 6 years ago, and I'm like, where is it? I need to find it.
You don't even remember who wrote it. It's, nothing.
I've like tried everything.
Have you tried like typing?
Typing the words.
Typing the words you remember.
It's so terrible.
Nada.
But yeah, I remember just feeling like, oh, damn, this is where I want to sit in my decisions. I want to sit in the consequences of my decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they are right or wrong, because that was the information I had at the time when I made the... Nobody goes around making the wrong decision because they want to. It means that the information wasn't enough.
Yeah.
The information wasn't enough. And allowing yourself to celebrate that I did the best at that time with the information
at
hand. And now I've got more information and so now I've changed my mind.
Yeah. Which is what your friend's going through right now.
Yes.
Like, I have the tools. I have the experience also.
And this is now a different decision.
It takes realizing, you know, it takes doing the thing to realize... I shouldn't have done that. You know?
And some people want to hold you hostage to decisions and don't allow... You're allowed to be a different person 17 seconds later.
Oof! You know what? That's so good. Because I'm realizing good woman to the world is... there's always a hammer on our past.
Yeah.
You know, if she's got a past...
Yes. But this is what you said in... And you and I, podcasters, we say a lot every week.
Yeah.
And there's been many times where I've watched an episode that I did 3 years ago. And I'm like, shit, I don't feel like that right now.
At all.
To be held hostage to those things.
Yeah.
What a pity. What a pity for you and not to accept.
Women are most likely to be held hostage to our decisions, the way that we used to think. Where we used to go.
To be honest, this one I'll even extend to anyone that speaks publicly. Even men.
Yeah.
Always need to be held hostage. Like, what a pity for you guys not to allow us to have the privilege to grow and to change our minds.
Yeah.
And to even maybe become worse than we were before. You know, like,
just allow us to grow so that we can become better.
And just
because
we've got, like, the braveness to speak out loud. Because it takes bravery to speak out loud. And you got, like, I feel like there's a punishment that comes with that. But you said in 1976, on the 6th of July, you said, it's like...
You know, also, I'm making a consideration for the fact that the woman's journey is new, relatively new to society, because there was no journey before.
Yeah.
You know, before 1960. Yeah, in the 1950s, 90s, there was no journey. Yeah. The journey was daughter, student, maybe if you were lucky, but daughter, wife, you know, wife, mother. That was the journey. Now our journeys are so complicated, and it's still new to a lot of people that, oh, now it's not just daughter, wife, mother. Yeah. Now it's daughter, student,
doctor,
girlfriend, maybe, doctor, you know, pastor. The journey is
so, yeah.
And so that's why I think there has been a tendency to hold us hostage to who we were and what we used to do, because before it wasn't that layered. So this is new. And so this is who you must be, or this is who you are for the rest of your life. And again, I love the fact that you encourage people, even sometimes maybe even other women that hold other women
to a weird standard.
To a weird standard. And it's like, hey, give people the grace to grow and change, maybe sometimes for the worse as well. And even with the whole liberation thing, no problem. With the whole liberation thing, I'm realizing that if you're really free, you don't have to prove it. And if you're proving your freedom, who's watching? Your captor. And you're not really free.
You're not free.
Because you have to prove it.
Free. And because that freedom means that it only exists in the context that everybody else thinks you're free.
Yeah.
Unlike being free. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, there's no slave running around saying, does everybody see that I'm free? It's like, are you free or are you dumb?
Again, performance. You know, what's the other thing that I wanted to talk about when it comes to being a good woman necessarily? But I think the conversation that we just had about the journey, you know, and how sometimes we can be held hostage, and the things that we learn throughout our journey as good women, I mean, as women to become good.
Yeah.
I think that encompasses everything that I wanted to say about
are
what
you're a good woman.
Do I think I'm a good woman? I think the fact that I'm trying to be makes me a good woman. You know?
I agree. Yes, see, life is hard. Yes, Bella. Nobody left us with a manual.
Yeah.
So we're just trying our best.
And the challenges themselves, especially in this season of my life, are incredibly new challenges.
How old are you?
23.
Are you allowed to share that? Or is that a secret?
No, I can share.
Ah, okay.
It's quite dark, but I'll share it. Because recently...
You're a baby girl.
Yeah, please say that again.
You're a baby girl.
Please, I'm just a girl. Say that to my family. And they laughed at me last December when I was... So for the very first time, Christmas was up to us. By us, I mean the people my age in the house, right? And usually before that, the adults must handle the grocery, they must handle the menu. I found myself waking up at 5 a.m. on Christmas morning collecting money, saying, okay, you're going to give this much and this is the grocery list. And by this time, the food should be cooked and this is the time we're going to organizing Christmas, Mina. And when I said, no, guys, I'm just a girl, they laughed at me. They're like, you're right, you're just a girl. Anyway.
Are you the oldest of all your siblings?
No. I've got 6 brothers and 1 sister.
Oh, my.
I'm the oldest girl, yeah.
Okay. You're the oldest.
Then I'm the oldest. What was I talking about? Good woman. Yes. In this season of my... So recently, our family is still going through a really tough time, you know, because my nephew, my brother's son, was allegedly, because she hasn't been found guilty yet, allegedly murdered by his mom. It's been all over the news. I don't know if you're familiar with Jaden Lee Meek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And navigating what a good woman looks like right now is so different, because the people I used to rely on, I have to take care of because they're grieving. My father is grieving and it's all over his face. You know, it's all over. You can hear in his voice, in his mannerisms. He's not well, you know. And my father has... My father, for majority of my life, he's been the one I relied on, you know. And when I couldn't be woman, I could be girl to my dad, you know. Now that's different at 23 and after this, not even after, in the midst of this, you know. So, good woman, I'm trying to be good daughter. I'm trying to show up for my dad and allow him to grieve, you know. Good sister, I'm trying to show up for my brother, who was Jaden Lee's father, the best I can, you know, even the night before yesterday, Saturday night, I'm sitting and watching TikToks in my room and he comes in and he's been so depressed for 2 years now. So, shoo, this drove him into a deeper state of depression. He came into my room and he says, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know you're the bestest in the world and I love you." And he gave me a big hug and a kiss and he left. I looked at him like, what's happening here? So I think I'm a good woman because I'm showing up the best that I can in my roles as daughter, as sister, even to my younger siblings, you know? So even as a partner, I think I'm doing quite great. I think I'm doing good. But yeah, I think I'm a good woman because I'm trying to be. And I'm always being affirmed by the people around me. You're doing good, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, I think I'm a good woman.
That's
because I'm trying to.
Because you're trying.
I must emphasize before people think it's one and done. I'm a good woman.
We fail all the time. Yeah. I've failed my parents many times. Yeah. I've failed my friends many times. I've failed my siblings many times.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. Trying my best.
And that's the point. Thank you so much, Ursula, for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hey, please come back. I already miss you and you're still here.
I need
here.
To come back with Empoya. Poor yes. girl.
She'll be here next time.
Yeah, she'll be here
oh
next
my God, time. I miss you and you're still sitting here. Guys, please petition.
Thank you so
Keep
much.
Keep the link in the description to sign the petition. Thank you so much for coming. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Sure, what is the CTA here? Share what you think a good woman is, and are you a good woman? And what was your idea of a good woman before this conversation? Because trust and believe me, mine has also changed. My definition has also changed throughout this conversation. And also, back to girl chats, your routine, incorporate. I mean, cycle sync, have a good morning routine, conquer the world. Take over the world. We love you guys so much. Don't forget to tune in to The Conversation Capital with Ursula Marie.
Yes,
please. so that the money can roll. Hey, Ursula, we need to be in.
Money keeps running.
We need
back.
To be in Bali, Thailand, something.
I'm telling you.
Yo, by December.
Niblicky Bata Paris, darling.
But I feel like Paris is for lovers, Bandla.
Ah, learning. Never.
Baby, did you hear? But thank you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next week, Monday. Bye.